light up anything. But also, a candle, it can flame out. And so, over time, if you don't continue to add to the wax, or you're not paying attention, the wind comes and it blows out that wick, it's not going to light up anymore. And so the question is, what's happening in your life? Are you still as bright as you were from day one? Or is there something now that has caused your candle to dissipate and or, in essence, be blended in with this dark world that God sees when it looks down? Because I'm telling you, what God wants to see is those individual pockets of light. And the way he really created us, what he really would have loved to have seen, and he unfortunately knows he won't because of sin, is the whole world just lit up with light. But you know what? Heaven's like that. And we know heaven's like that because that's the way God is. And we all should look forward to one day to be able to present our light to him. But let's just go just read a few verses on candles. And then we can kind of talk through and get into the meat of the lesson. In Matthew 5. Starting in verse 14. Now, I'm reading from the New American Standard. The New King James also uses the word lamp. The King James Version actually uses the word candle. But both, in essence, whether it be a lamp or a candle, it's still the same concept. A lamp doesn't burn forever. You know, you got to add oil to it. So conceptually, it's still the same. Let's look at verse 14. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket. But on the lampstand it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So that's God looking down on you. He's looking down on this world, and he sees your light. And if your light is showing to him, what's it telling? What is it telling God? That it can see your good works around all this evil that's in this world. And that, you know, I can end this lesson right here. Because that in itself is exactly where we want to be in this life. Is that God looks down on us and he sees us shining with all this darkness. And if we go to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Let's first look at 3 through 9. So we've got a parable here. Matthew 13. Starting in verse 3. And so this is where, as you go through life, there are things in this life that's going to want to take your candle and it's going to want to make it disappear. It's going to want to show that, you know what, you don't need this candle shining bright. You just don't need it. But you got to overcome those obstacles, because without your light shining, God's never going to be able to see you. He's only going to see those whose light is as bright as the day when he looks down on this earth. Let's start in verse 3. Matthew 13, starting in verse 3. It says, "And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell in the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30-fold. He who has ears, let him hear." Now, if we go down to verse 18, Jesus will now explain this parable to his disciples. "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one whom seed was sown beside the road." So I'll pause right there. So you'll see there are going to be those in this life that will never have their candle shone bright. And it's because they are in this mentality that I have to follow this word. That's not true. They don't want to know God's word. They don't understand anything that is what God wants them to do. And instead, what they've chose to do is to follow a word that produces no light. It is 100% against what God would have us to do. Now, those are the people who just make their choice. It says that God does not matter to me. But what we're about ready to read is for those who knew God, who had an understanding of who God was, and now have made choices otherwise. Let's continue on. Look at verse 20. The one on whom seed has sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. So here you see, we've got someone who has all this joy and this excitement for God's word. But something happens in their life. And, you know, here I think it's geared towards persecution because of the word that they're following. But we could also be, may not be a physical persecution, but there may be spiritual persecution that we may go through. But regardless, this is someone who initially has this joy. But as soon as life starts getting in the way and things, bad things happen, God falls away. God falls out of their heart and their light is completely gone. If you look at the first century, if you're not going through persecution, you are not a follower of God. Like, it's almost everybody there had been persecuted in some way, somehow. And they were living a life, giving up everything here on this earth. That's where they found joy. And so for us, there may be things in our lives, and it may not be something that is physical persecuting, but it may be something that's spiritual persecuting in the fact that it's taking you away from God. And whether it be sin, whether it be family, whether it be friends, whether it be anything that takes you away from God, that keeps your light dimmed and no longer shining, you have to get rid of it in this life. And it may be a difficult thing to do. I imagine there are things in this life that you love, that you don't want to get rid of, but you may have to do it. There's just some things you just cannot have in this life if you want to get to heaven. You don't care about getting to heaven? You can do whatever you want. You don't take whatever those things are. But if your goal is to get to heaven, there's just some things you have to get rid of. Let's continue on. And the one whom, verse 22, and the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So you see here, if you live this world and great things are happening to you, and all of a sudden these great things are taking you away from God. Whereas, you know, I'm moving up in the ranks of my company. I'm making all these things financially. I'm doing everything that I don't need God. I don't need God in my life. So why do I need to go now and focus on living that life? I'm just going to go and continue this life here because things for me are great. I've met someone new. I'm not supposed to be with, but instead I'm going to continue down this because it makes me feel good. Whatever it is that's in your life that is not supposed to be there, whether good or bad, in this case, good, it's in essence, in the end, really bad. And that's what Jesus is trying to say, is that you can have everything in this life, but if it takes you away from heaven, you need to get rid of it. And if it's going to cause you pain, it's going to cause you pain in the end. That's what you don't want to have. And, you know, there's two sides of both of these coins, that you can have whatever you want in this life. And there may be things that you may say that God is punishing me. All these things are happening to me because it's God's fault. But see, God has things happen in our lives to get us back on track, to get our lives to change and get our light to shine in a way that he can see it. Otherwise, if everything always goes great, where's God going to be at in that forefront? It's like, I don't need God, right? I don't need him. My life is just great. And that's this case here, is that when the world chokes you up to where you just are feeling so good about it and nothing else matters, what ends up happening is that God no longer matters. Well, guess what? And one day God will show you that he always mattered. And then finally, the one that we all really want to focus on, the one that we want to be, is on that last one. It says, and the one whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. This is the person who takes the word of God, applies it to his life, and live his or her life, and lives every day with God's word in the forefront of their minds. No matter what I'm doing, God's first. No matter what I'm saying, God is first. If it means I have to get rid of this person, God's first. If it means I can't do this, God's first. If you're doing that, what does God see? He sees your light. Going back to Matthew 5, when he looks down on this world, he will see you as the light of day. That is the way we should be focused in living our lives. God's first. And it's hard to fathom sometimes because we're physical. We are still physical, and God made us that way. We still have fleshly thoughts. We have not seen the spiritual life. We've had those who have passed, but we don't know what it's actually like when we die. But what we can guarantee is that there will be a day that we're all going to die, and all our timelines will be cut. We don't know what day that is. Mine could be tomorrow. Mine could be at 40 years. Yours could be tomorrow. Yours could be another 40 years. We don't know. But there will be a day, and we will stand before God, and he's going to say, did I see you when I looked down, or did I just see you blended in with the darkness of this world? And if you saw you blended in, then he's going to say, I don't know you. So just go to this other place. And there will be nothing but darkness there. And, you know, how can we ensure that our lives are maintaining its bright light? I think a lot of it is related to endurance. Endurance is the most important thing, because every one of us here have at one time or another made a commitment that Jesus Christ and that being a believer in him is the most important thing. But it's throughout life that things cause us to no longer have that love that we once had. Have that, you know, I was actually just watching this thing on Alex Rodriguez, and he was obsessed with playing baseball, like obsessed with it. He loved it. Even when he was in his 40s, he still loved it. And I'm thinking to myself, I was like, do we love God in that way? Like, he had an obsession for it. It was 24-7 for him. Nothing else. You know, he forsake his family, everything, because he just loved baseball so much. I'm not saying we love baseball so much, but if we love God so much, look at how great it should make us feel. And we endure anything. And for each and every one of us, if we can endure tribulations and if we can go through perseverance and we have verses to back up these things to help us to get through this life, but if you do not endure and persevere, your light is going to eventually dim out. It's going to fade away. It's naturally, it's going to happen. And if we go to Romans 5, and let's look at verse 3. It says, not only this, so all these qualities, but if we look at verse 3, it says, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Tribulation equals perseverance. There's going to be an expectation that you're going to have things happen to you in this life. That should make you stronger and closer to God. But, you know, sometimes what we want to do is to turn things that are fleshly in nature. Alcohol, drugs, friends we shouldn't be interacting with, family members who we shouldn't be interacting with. Things that's going to take you down and tell you the wrong things. But see, the tribulation that we should be looking for, and when we go through those things, I go back to Jesus in the garden. He prayed to God before his persecution. What was he praying for? He's praying for comfort. You know, God will, if you go to God and pray, help me through this, he will help you guide through it. You may have to go through it. You may have to go through it in really bad way. Jesus had to go through his death on the cross, did he not? You may have to go through it, and it may hurt. But God will be there to give you comfort. And if you can close your eyes and say, God is with me, I'm telling you, whatever you're going through, it's not going to hurt. It's not going to hurt at all. You're going to feel so thankful that you have God on your side. And, you know, if we were to go to James 1, and actually James 1 talks about, you know, seeking, well, let's just go there for a moment. So if we go to James 1. It It says, verse 12, James 1, verse 12. It says, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadows. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be kind of first fruits among his creatures. And continues on. But isn't it ironic that we talks about this perseverance under these trials, and it goes directly into sin in this life? Because sin in this life is a trial, and it is difficult at times to get through. But we, when we go through those things, if we pass the test, if we understand and we look back and we seek God for comfort during those times, we will come out on top. And then if we go to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 11. It is a trustworthy statement. For if we died with him, we also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. For he cannot deny himself. And so if we look here, and it says that if we endure, we'll also reign with him. But I really want to focus on the next verse, where even in our times where we are faithless, he is still going to be there for us. And so when we feel like we're giving up hope, or we don't want to continue in this life, we're having a hard time to persevere, Jesus is not giving up on you. God is not going to give up on you. Just turn around and go back, and he will be there. He will be faithful. He's going to be by your side at all times. But you have to seek him. That's the key, is that when you're going through difficult trials in this life and you don't know how to get out, seek God. Go to God. Don't go to anybody else. I mean, I'm not saying you can't go to the brethren. Obviously, the brethren are here to help you through those difficult times. But it's the brethren whose foundation is the same as yours through the Word of God that's going to get you on top, that's going to get you through those things. If you want to get through this life, you want your light, the candle you have, to continue to shine, go to God. Seek Him. He will help you out through difficult trials. And then, what do we do in tough situations? Like, how do I know that if my light is shining in the way that it should? Well, we go to Galatians 6 for a moment. We're going to be starting in verse 6. Galatians 6, verse 6 says, the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have an opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are the household of faith. So, in tough situations, the best thing for us to do to keep our light shining is to continue to do good. Even when it seems like we should be losing hope, instead we're gaining hope because we're doing good. We're following the Word of God, and we're seeking Him for that guidance. And when we do that, we will all be on the path of showing our lights that will continue to be bright and bright forever and ever. Second, if we go to 2 Chronicles, so kind of got to go back a little bit. Second Chronicles, chapter 15. Second Chronicles, chapter 15. And so this is Asa's prophecy in terms of his expectation now that he's going to be leading God's people. So let's start in verse 15. It says, verse 1, I'm sorry, chapter 15, 2 Chronicles 15, verse 1. It says, "Now the Spirit of God came on Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, 'Listen to me, Asa, and all Judea, Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. And if you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For many days Israel was without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord God of Israel, and they sought him, and he let them find him. In those times, there are no peace to him who went out or to him who came in, for many disturbances afflicted all the inhabitants of the lands. Nation was crushed by nation, city by city, for God troubled them with every kind of distress. But you be strong and do not lose courage, for there is a reward for your work.'" See, when you follow God and you rely on God and you seek God, he's going to let you find him. But notice, though, in times of stress, look at what happens. If you go back to verse 6, it says, "For God troubled them with every kind of distress." See, when you're going through trials and tribulations and you want to lose that hope, you lose the hope because you're looking in the wrong place to find that courage that you need. See, if you see God, even when you're having difficult times, even though it may hurt, it may be painful, and it may be frustrating that you got to go through this, but when God's in the forefront, you will find joy in whatever it is that you're going through. And that's what makes us want to be with God. And then what's amazing about it is that God's at one time, at some day, is going to end all that pain and that tribulation that you're going through. The problem is it just might not be here while you're on this earth. That's the hardest part to fathom sometimes. You may have to go through something for the rest of your life. But it's okay. Because when this life is over, it's going to be so easy. And it's going to be so much better. And you ultimately get to live with the one you've relied on this whole time. And that's your Father. Matthew 10:22, it also talks about showing your light around those who hate you. It's like, how much courage is that for you, knowing that these people don't even love me, but yet I'm still going to show God around them? And by doing that, you have now put yourself in this forefront of this dark world, and all God is seeing is that little light. And that little light is you, and what he's going to do one day is he's going to resurrect that little light to where he shines in his glory, and the place that you would be going is always lit. You don't have to worry about living in a dark world with all these pain and all this sin that's around you. And so, kind of concluding, why do we need to keep our candles lit? If we go to Proverbs chapter 4, look at verse 25. It says, let your eyes look directly ahead. I think King James uses forward. Maybe it's New King James that uses forward. Let your eyes look forward, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. So, we need to keep our hands... candles lit because we in this life should be looking forward, not backwards. And it's not a fleshly forward, it's a spiritual forward. It's we should be looking forward to the life after this one. That's the most important one. And then ultimately in Romans 8, starting in verse 18. It says, "For I considered that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." I can just stop right there, but we'll keep going. "For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also, the freedom of the glory of the children, the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even when we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoptions as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For he who hopes for what he already sees, but if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it." That's why we keep our candles lit. That's why we live and grow as strong as we can every single day as Christians. And, you know, if we pretend that this whole room is kind of, we close these doors, I come over here and I hit this light real quick. That's pretty dark. That's what you're going to see eternally if you don't. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to see that eternally and then be in a lot of pain at the same time. But that's exactly what you're going to be seeing. So if God looks down on you and he sees darkness, you're going to end up in that same darkness. And this time you're going to be punished for it. If there's anything that we can do to help you get out of that darkness and that we can help your light shine as it did when you first became a Christian, we use this time to do that. As together we stand and as we sing.